chapter 1.
I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, and here it is, for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. Father in heaven, I pray that your Spirit would speak to us and teach us what we need to learn. Deal with our hearts in ways that will make us better believers. The kind of Christians that will exemplify Jesus Christ. To this end we pray in his name, amen. Now, he talks about fellowship in the gospel. That's Sunday school teachers. That's deacons. That's trustees. That's children's workers, like in Vacation Bible School. That's like teen leaders. That's like people involved in music ministry. Fellowship in the gospel. That's like missionaries. That's like evangelists. That's like pastors. That's like prison outreach people. You see, we are all gospel workers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to turn to that, though we will be back to Philippians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are given instructions about the importance of each person in the body of Christ, the place of each person, the function, the purpose. Looking, if you will, please, I'm going to begin reading it. The whole chapter's marvelous, okay? But I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, things don't change by what we want them to be. They are what God says them to be. So God says that the foot and the hand are both part of the body. In other words, within the local church, the local body of Christ, okay, some people are a foot, some people are a hand. I always like to say when I discuss this sort of thing about a friend of ours who, when referring to Pat and I, he would say, I'm the mouth and she's the ear. And so when he would call to speak to Pat, and I answered, he'd say, I don't want the mouth, I want to talk to the ear. Okay. And he had a good time with that. And so the foot and the eye, or the hand, the ear and the eye, which is more important than the other? Well, do without any one of them and you'll find out that's the important one. Okay, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? Now, when he talks there about smelling, we're thinking about the nose, aren't we? Not nosy, but the nose for the olfactory senses, okay? That's important. Because in the body of Christ, there's many times too many nosy people. But if the whole body were an eye, if everybody was what you are, wouldn't that be an odd body? One big eye? What was it in the Greek mythology, the Cyclops, right? Okay? But now, verse 18, hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, according to what they want. That's not what it says, is it? No, he sets them in the body as it hath pleased him. In other words, if he's made you a hand, he knows that's what's best for you and best for the body. And when we complain about not being this or that, not doing this or that. In other words, the eye does certain things, the hand does certain things. And when we want to do something that the hand does, but we're a foot, and when we begin to say, I want to do what the hand does, we're complaining against God. We're complaining against God. And the bottom line of the matter is, this old nature of ours likes to whine and complain. And it's very satisfied in complaining about what we're not. But if you've been saved for any length of time, you may have learned, I know that I'm very capable of expressing that complaining in almost spiritual sounding ways. Yeah, there is no such thing. There is no such thing as a spiritual sounding way of complaining. But we've become too often very adept at expressing what we want. But God says, no, I set you there as an eye. I set you there as a hand. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You see, we can't. What I've put here in my note is that we have too many mutilated bodies. The body being the local church. And of course, if I were to cut my hand off, and then I were to cut my foot off, and then I were to, I'd be mutilated, wouldn't I? Who are the mutilated parts? Where did they sit? Where were the mutilated ones? The ones that somebody thought, well, I don't care if they don't come. I don't care if they don't like it. I can do without them. No, God says every part of the body. Now, we're going from Bible times, we're coming through these many centuries to the day in which we live and the mobility which we have, and therefore it's possible for the movement to be taking place. But we cannot say to each other and about each other and of each other that we don't need anyone. Now, I hope, there are some things I love to be proven wrong on, and I'm not going to ask for a response to this, okay? But I wonder, how many Miss Tiffany Dockstetter? Not just miss seeing her sit there, but send her a text. Gave her a telephone call. Gave her another telephone call. Send a note to her. Okay? In some way, we dare not. Well, if she wants to come, you know, we're happy to have her. But if she doesn't want to come, that's her choice. We can't force her. And that's true, we can't. But if you were missing for whatever sort, be it negative or natural, would you not want somebody to miss you? Would you not want somebody to let you know that you're missed? The eye can't say to the foot, we don't need that foot. We can get along without that foot. Apostle Paul says, inspired by the Spirit of God, that we can't. Yes, Brother Mike.
You were singing tonight, it's going to be a heavy heart. I miss hearing your daughter sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your message is very appropriate today.
Amen. Good. Good.
Nobody misses them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody misses us.
Yeah.
These guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important. It's important. Now, very honestly, I hope this week Tiffany will hear from, what, 3, 4 people?
Yeah.
You say, well, I already did. Do it again.
Right.
Well, how often should I do it? In regards to forgiving, Jesus said 70 times 7. Now, this is not a forgiving matter, but if we take how long should we do stuff, that, you know, just that in forgiveness sure lets us know we ought to keep doing. Keep trying. Let me encourage something else to you Sunday school teachers. Your students that are here tonight and Sunday morning, they're going to be here, aren't they? You know they're going to be here because their mom and dad come and they come with them. But please, when one of your students is absent, send them a card. Send them a note. Give them a telephone call. Yeah, well, I knew they were sick. It isn't what you know. It's what they need to know.
That's right.
That their teacher missed them.
That's good.
And I know they'll be here the next week. But do we want them here 5 years from now? Or however many years from now, after they're through our Sunday school, then they need to know we care about them. Care enough to express that we've missed them. This is significant. That's an inadequate word to stress it, but I use it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us that God gave some positions and some persons for a very significant purpose. I'm turning to Ephesians chapter 4. There's one verse in particular, though I'm going to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, do you notice there's a comma after the word some? He's not saying he gave some apostles, like several apostles, okay? He gave some apostles, maybe six or seven. And he gave some prophets. Without the comma is there to say he gave some the task of being an apostle. He gave some men the task of being prophets. And some evangelists. Not every servant of God is an evangelist. Not everybody in the body of Christ is an eye or a foot, only some. Not everybody's an evangelist. He gave some pastors and teachers. Now, depending on the view that a person holds, they see that position as pastor and teacher, sort of like pastor slash teacher. A dual office. The man's a pastor, which is a shepherd, but he's also a teacher. Some believe that it's saying, well, he gave some pastors, and then the some is inferred for teachers. I'm not going to argue with it, okay? all along, consistently, he said some, and all of a sudden, God's not saying some. So I lean toward pastors and teachers, meaning that a pastor is supposed to be a teacher. He shepherds the flock, but he teaches them while he does it. But here it is. Look at verse 12. Here's why he gave the... You see, these are positions, but they are men, gifted men, for the perfecting of the saints. He gave these men to the church, perfecting, completing, developing, maturing. He gave for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry. Who does the work of the ministry? According to that verse, who does the work of the ministry? The saints. Okay? He gave pastor, teachers, and evangelists. What do you give them for? Perfecting, developing, maturing the saints. Who are the saints? All Christians. He gave these men to develop you and I. Why? Just so we feel really great about the kind of Christian we are? No. Look at it. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry. Why is he perfecting you? According to this verse, why is he perfecting you? For the work of the ministry. He's not getting you to grow. He's not developing you as a Christian. He's not teaching you just so you feel good about yourself. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself. But that's not why he's doing it. He's doing it so that you can do the work of the ministry. Comma. You have to be looking at the verse or you won't catch it because the punctuation is important. For the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God wants this church edified. And he's going to do it through you. And you, and you, and you, and you. I'm not going to keep doing it till I have every one of you. You got that. He's developing it so that the body can grow. Listen, I'm glad you come Sunday and Wednesday and any other time that you come. I'm happy you come. And if you're just here to make your wife happy, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with making your wife happy. And you know what? In the process, you're going to be hearing the Word of God. And we have absolute confidence in the work of the Holy Spirit that He's going to be taking the Word that you're hearing, though you may not be here for the right motive, you're here.
Amen.
I was never of the mind that if you're not here for the right reason, you may as well go home. No, stay.
Yes.
Stay, because if you're going to be any help, it's going to be through the Word of God. It's going to be through the Word of God. If I only came to church when I really felt like it. You know what? Halfway out here tonight, we'd have turned around. if we went by what we felt. Because, boy, the further we come, the tireder we get. I know none of you have that problem because you're all younger. Well, Jim might have that problem. But we're here to edify each other, to build, and you're important. Yeah, well, I don't do anything. Well, we can remedy that.
Yes.
Okay, we really can. But there's points in a person's life when what you do isn't the important thing. It's what you are being, what you are learning, how you are being developed, okay, or how you are being perfected. You see, perfect, we think sinless, right? And that's not the way that word is used there. And so we're perfecting saints for the work of the ministry so the body can be edified. Now, how long does this go on? Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Wow, it's going to be a while, isn't it? I guess it's going to last a while till we come in the unity of the faith. But that's all right. There'll come a day where we won't have this old nature. And we'll be unified. But until then, through it all, we can learn to trust in the Lord. Well, we're going to go back to Philippians. And in verse 5, where he speaks about your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That word in the gospel is important because it's not talking about the gospel. It's talking about us being in the gospel.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to show you the other verses that we'll look at next week. And these other verses, there are six things about gospel workers. Every one of you Sunday school teachers is a gospel worker. Every one of you deacons and trustees is a gospel worker.
That's right, yes, sir.
Every one of you servants of the church are a gospel worker. Okay? Every one of you, and on we can go. You say, well, I'm nothing. Yes, you are. Don't you ever think that. Don't you ever think I'm nothing. You are something. You are either an eye or an ear or a nose or a foot or a hand. You are some part of the body of Christ. What you want to say is, I haven't yet found my place to serve. And here's where I say again, we have places where you can serve. Now, some of those places are not the traditional ones like I mentioned. When I come in tonight, I was standing in the foyer talking to Pastor, and our back was to the steps, and I happened to notice the plexiglass that was over the four windows that tilled out. Boy, I was glad to see that. I'm already hot, okay? And so that means those windows can be open. Who took that plexiglass off?
Ed Gilbert.
You know, it doesn't take any special talent to take that off.
Now, I'm not saying that because Ed took it off. You probably wouldn't have picked up on that if I hadn't opened up my mouth.
The reason I'm saying that is because I helped Jim put them up. Okay? I know what talent I don't have. Okay? I know I could have taken them off. All it takes is a screwdriver and a magnet. You say, what's the magnet? Anybody know what the magnet's for?
Pick up the screws later.
Pick up the screws that you drop. Yeah. But so you don't necessarily have to have a magnet. But you see, those things could be taken off. You say, over there, on that table, there's a list of things that the trustees put together that need to be done around here. So don't say, I'm nothing. So list on that table of things that need to be done around here. And it can be done. Those things can be done. Listen, Jesus said, he that is faithful in a little bit gets a lot. That's a Hayne paraphrase. Okay? He that's faithful in a little is getting more. You might get to be the sort of thing that you would look up to or that you would consider to be really important. You might just get that if God saw you were faithful in taking plexiglass off, in putting trim around a window, and any one of the other 15 things or so that's on that list. Got the picture?
Yep.
I like the way D.L. Moody put it. D.L. Moody said, I'd rather have 10 men each doing one thing than one man doing 10 things. Okay? What we need is 10 men.
That's right.
10 ladies. People who do. Okay? You go, well, I got a job. I don't need another one. Now, you've all heard me say this, and I'm going to say it, and I got to quit. Some people are one-job people. That's all they can handle. And be a blessing and get a blessing. But a lot of people are two-job people. Some people are three-job people. Now, I'm talking significant jobs. I'm not talking about taking plexiglass off. I did my one job for the year. Okay. I'm talking about regular, ongoing tasks, okay? Some can be four-job people. You get beyond that and you want to get a blessing as well as be a blessing, and there's only so many hours in a day, and depending on what your home situation is with children in the home, depending on what your health is, okay, that can also affect it. But the point is, there's something that you can do. And we can help you find out what that is. You've all heard it's a sick old joke, and that is, you want to give your pastor a heart attack, go up and volunteer for something. I mean, that doesn't really happen. You know, we can handle it. He can handle it, you know. Go ahead, test his heart. But we're going to continue on. We're going to look at the fellowship in the gospel, the defense and confirmation of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, the defense of the gospel again, and then what I'm calling the lifestyle of the gospel and striving together for the gospel. All of that stuff that we're going to be looking at.
Good.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do pray that your Spirit will teach us what we cannot know and learn without his work. In Jesus' name, amen.